Patty DeGangeve and Shirley Gutkowski are known for bringing their Midwestern sensibility to today's health issues with an eye towards the future. With decades of experience in clinical dental hygiene, writing about it, speaking on it, and pondering over all aspects of it, Patty and Shirley challenge dental hygienists to reach higher levels of revolutionary thinking to meet 21st century patient needs, wants, and expectations. Beware their infectious excitement. It can be catchy.
Hi, Shirley. Here it is. Patty's here again. And I have a real question for you this time. I think that we have many hygienists that are overpaid. Yeah, that's what I think, overpaid. Boy, have I lost them already? But I mean, it's a time of year when there's, you know, hygienists that just got out of school, they're getting their licenses, and they're working at the same time, and they're getting paid almost the same or sometimes even more than people have been out there. But does it really make any difference how long people have been out there? I mean, there's just a discrepancy. It reminds me of flying on a plane and what tickets on an airplane cost. It doesn't make any sense, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't. And that's, yeah, it kind of reminds me too, when I started back in 1986, I started with a temporary service. And I said, you know, I'm a new graduate, so I don't know if, you know, what I should be asking for. And the lady on the other end of the line said, oh, don't worry about it. We're all the same. All hygienists should be paid the same. And even back then, I was like, what? Well, then what good is experience? It's just not good. It's not worthwhile, right? That's not true. And I think everybody who's listening to this podcast and everybody who's reading the article knows somebody who is not pulling their weight or who is getting paid more than somebody else thinks they should. And for us, and for me especially, I really think that getting paid on commission is the answer to all of that. But whatever, that's not the way that most people want to practice. But being overpaid is part of the problem here, and it's keeping all of dental hygiene as an industry kind of in check, and it's not allowing us a lot of forward movement because we're not recognized for what we're doing. If all we're doing is brushing and flossing and scraping off lower anterior calculus and calling it a day, there's so much more to practice of dental hygiene. And when you're not applying all of those pieces, there's a very good chance that you're being overpaid. And if your employer feels as though you're being overpaid, they're not going to be happy.
Here's the thing, though, that I have long been on this hobby horse of, that the in a practice, the equation always has to be that a hygienist, whether you're on a commission or on a salary or whatever, should not ever get more than 1/3 of the overall production of the practice. And the thing is that with my investigation, I've never found any reason for that other than somebody decided that.
Right.
And I mean, that's things that we do, we talk about in these calls and when we talk about in the articles, is like questioning. And so why is it that a hygienist is to be limited? And I don't think, especially with what we're going to talk about, you know, as far as the fullness of hygiene, should we have a limitation? I don't think so. Especially something that's artificial and doesn't make sense, because you're talking about some really developing some protocols within the practice, you know, for
that's what helps the practice owner see what you're doing. Gives you an opportunity, the hygienist an opportunity to show off a little bit or show what they've done or do some kind of a presentation to the practice management owner or to the practice owner rather. And you brought up a really good point about this 33% or 30% or whatever magic number it is. There were hygienists who used to work on commission in the 80s, back when everything started to shift to hourly, who were making 50%, and that's great. I know two hygienists who are working on a 30% commission who got their commissions cut because they were making more than the dentist or the associate dentist. So even that isn't a good, clear way of practicing. But being in front and showing what you're doing and having meetings and conversations and not just, you know, going to these default look what Brad Pitt conversations did at lunch. Those are the kinds of things that help to show what you're doing in your practice. And now that we have this enormous flower opening of all the oral systemic causes for periodontal disease and caries, that includes the gut microbiome, it includes the airway, it includes epigenetics, it includes mechanical removal, it includes functional foods. All of these kind of things are all contributing to health of the body. And when we are just focusing on topical attributes and teaching our patients topical ways of keeping their teeth clean, we're missing over 50% of the equation.
I just learned more just this week about a couple of new tests that have been introduced to dentistry, and one is for DNA drug mapping of an individual's genetic propensity to be able to metabolize certain drugs.
Crazy.
And certain drug combinations. Now that sounds for a lot of people way out of the box of what should go on in a dental practice. Yet to me, that's such an important thing. I look at my own history and my own level of medications that I'm taking, and it's like, how do we know that whatever we're doing is actually making a difference and doing what it's supposed to if we don't even have some of this basic information? And it's you know, for many it doesn't even sound basic, but yet it is when we talk about the setup of how healthy someone's going to be or not going to be. It's like, well, is that within the purview of a dental hygienist? Well, I don't know what is in the purview of a dental hygienist.
It all is. All of it is. And that's part of this whole discussion here. And, you know, just because you show up to work and you're coughing and you don't feel good and you have a headache doesn't make you a good employee. Not going to the bathroom all day and just holding it to the very last patient leaves does not make you a good employee or worth more money than somebody else. You need to engage your brain and be inquisitive even about these kind of topics. This DNA testing for drugs is really something. I was talking to Dr. Cooch, Kim Cooch, yesterday of Carefree, and we were talking about epigenetics because I was wondering where he stood on all of this with respect to caries management, and he didn't really have an answer either, but he was telling me that Dr. Lowdog was speaking at the Oregon Dental Association meeting, and she said that all this doctoring that we're doing is alternative medicine, and real medicine is on what we're eating and how we're functioning in the world. And that I thought was fantastic way of putting this whole thing into perspective.
I heard something this week that it keeps hitting me in the head, that aging is actually a result of lack of, not result of aging is shows lack of exercise or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's making my brain go, wow, what? I don't like that. But
yeah.
just because it's truthful, I don't like it, doesn't mean it's not accurate. But there's so many things for us to get our heads around that it sometimes can be so overwhelming. And we know you and I love to jump into that even farther realm. But we want to know from you, our listeners, what do you think? You know, this idea of being overpaid. Are you overpaid if all you do is prophy, prophy, prophy? Okay, you do some perio, you know. But, I mean, let's be real about what payment should be based on. Isn't payment shouldn't be based on how healthy our patients get and measurability of how healthy our patients get? It takes investigation. It takes thinking. And we really want to know what you think about this. That's really what this whole process is about, is to engender thinking and discussion. And if we make you a little crazy when we say things like you're overpaid, good, we're trying to.
And I really would like to know, too, what they think makes a good, worthwhile employee. Because I don't know that anyone's ever asked that question either when we're talking about holds in research. What makes a good employee?
Yeah, and that's really where we're going to end at this time. We want to thank you guys for listening, and we want to hear from you. See you next time.
Thanks, Patty. Have a good day. Bye.
If you're wondering how to improve your oral systemic practice, join Shirley Kutkowski's Guided Mastermind. Each one-month mastermind tackles a single topic that's easy to implement because you and your colleagues plan it and implement it together. 1 month, one topic, affordable. Contact Shirley by email, shirley@crosslinkradio.com.